everybody. Welcome to episode 13 of Spill the OT podcast. And today's podcast is a little bit different. I interviewed with a woman who is an OT but has transitioned to be a stay-at-home mom. And this was kind of timely for myself for personal reasons because if you listen to my Q&A podcast, I mentioned that my husband and I have been trying to have kids for quite a while. We got married in 2015 during the summer. So it's been about 3.5 years that we've been on this journey. And if you had talked to me 3.5 years ago, I would have said, yeah, I'm definitely going to work either full-time or heavily part-time, or possibly just do per diem work. But the longer that it's taken us to get to this stage, I feel like stay-at-home mom has become a priority. And I don't know if that'll change once a baby's here, but as of right now, my whole kind of priorities and wants have shifted. So I really enjoyed this interview to talk to somebody to just hear how they make it work financially. I live up in New England where it's very expensive, but the cost of childcare is also really expensive. I've obviously don't have kids, but I've had a lot of time to think about having kids. So I've really like done the cost analysis of childcare versus my salary, and it kind of ends up that I would break even. I'd make a little bit of money, but not a significant amount. So I wanted to know how she was able to make it work with one salary and just kind of hear her experience. Does she miss working with people? Does she enjoy being home all day? This might be a controversial topic because I know most of you guys are probably working full-time or working part-time, and you know, this is kind of heavily geared towards stay-at-home mom. So this episode might not be for you, which is totally fine. You can check in next week. If you're just someone who's curious, keep on listening. And yeah, she was very sweet to talk to, and she did talk about her experience as a per diem as well. So if you are somebody who has thought about being a per diem, she kind of talks about what's easy and what's a little bit more challenging in the per diem field. She talks about whether or not she feels included all the time, or if they kind of see her as a outsourced therapist. So it's a great interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Before we dive too deep, I want to say a huge thank you to the people who have rated and reviewed this podcast on iTunes. So I want to shout out to two people. One is Michelle F. 86. She said, working in a big hospital in the city, Spill the OT explains the inner workings of the OT world from start to finish. An awesome resource for those thinking about entering the OT field or currently an OT student in the process of earning his or her degree. The host utilizes humor and facts to address all types of OT questions and different topics. I love the wide range of guests with different backgrounds and perspectives. It's so nice to hear other people's experience. This podcast is also a great source for those in the professional and keeping it real when it comes to all things OT. I highly recommend this, listening to this, and hope you love this podcast as much as I do. It's a perfect addition to your daily commute. Okay, this is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. This is so sweet. Thank you so much, Michelle. I am just so grateful that you're listening, and like, that's just very kind of you to say. So I hear you, I see you, and thank you so much. The last one is from Judy, the OT. Judy said, just started the podcast and really enjoyed the perspective. I'm finishing school for OT soon and trying to figure out next steps. Really cool to hear about the different career paths to make a more informed decision. Traveling OT might be the might be the first big step. Cool. Good luck, Judy. I love doing traveling. I would say maybe if you're still a student, consider getting a job before you jump into the traveling world, or just make sure that you have a really good mentor before you leap in. But regardless, thank you so much. And if you want to be featured on the podcast, please rate and review on iTunes. And all right. Thanks, guys. Let's jump into the interview.
I did my undergrad at Auburn in psychology, and then I waited a few years and I went back to get my master's in OT at UAB in Birmingham. I graduated at the end of 2009. I actually kind of started off things a little backward. After I graduated, I took my OT boards for the first time and then actually failed them. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I ended up having a miscarriage, and it took me a little while, and I finally passed the OT boards in 2010, and then I was pregnant with my now daughter. So I graduated, or I finally passed, and here I was pregnant and trying to find jobs. So I just decided to do PRN from the beginning. And luckily, I found work. I was honest when I went on my interviews. I told them I was pregnant. And so I started working in the hospital, like acute care and in a SNF. I have been PRN ever since. And with my third child, things kind of changed. I couldn't find work anymore. And so I worked at an acute care and the SNF for, I guess, let's see, about 4 or 5 years doing that. But once I got pregnant with my third child, I had to start staying home. I couldn't find the work anymore when I was available. And it was just, it got to be too much. Plus, putting all those kids in daycare was not financially feasible.
Yeah. So just to share a little bit about myself, I really want children. And I always thought that I would be like a working mom, mm-hmm. but it's taken us so long to get this baby that at this point I'm like, when we have a baby, I'm staying home with this baby.
Oh, I don't blame you. I know some people have to do that, and I'm not like judging anybody that works full time, but it's really nice to be able to work part time if you can. But I have enjoyed staying home because I feel like I haven't missed anything. But it is very challenging to stay home at the same time. I will admit it's been a little more challenging than I kind of thought.
Can you speak to the challenges that pop up?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, for me with having three kids, you know, obviously we're very busy. And it's a lot lonelier than I thought because I don't have a whole lot of stay-at-home mom friend. So that part of it, I wasn't kind of expecting. So I try to, you know, see people when we can, but that has been a little more difficult. And also too, I think I kind of thought staying home, I would be able to like stay on top of my household chores, you know, and that's very difficult too, because somebody always, you know, needs something. But
I would imagine with three, it's very busy.
Yeah. So what I've learned is you have to try to embrace the chaos and just set your standards low. Like our house just kind of does not stay very clean. I mean, we get dishes clean and whatnot, but it's kind of a mess all the time. And that's just the way it is right now. And we've just had to accept that. Also too, I think, and I work like 2 Saturdays a month at the nursing home. So that has been good to still keep my skills up and have some adult conversation, you know, but I have missed working because I love being an OT. I mean, I feel like it's a great fit for me. And I love the elderly population. They're my jam.
Oh, that's cool. So do you feel like I struggle with this where I feel like I've spent so much money on my education that I almost feel guilty kind of not giving it up, but like putting it on the back burner because I've invested so much money.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way?
Yes, I understand. You put so much time and money and effort into getting your degree. And I feel like sometimes I was like, you know, did I just waste all of that? Like I was worried I wouldn't be able to, you know, not working for a few years so much. Like I was worried I wouldn't be able to do it anymore. But you will find, and I have found this too, that there's a lot of other therapists out there who were in the same position. They had kids, they took time off, and then they eventually got back into it. And it is possible to get back into it. If you could, when you do have a baby and you stay home, and I don't know what your area is like, or if it's possible, if you still could, you know, work a few days here and there just to kind of keep up your skills, that might ease your anxiety a little bit. And that's helped me a little bit too.
Yeah, I could see that. And I do have a per diem job, so I think I could keep that regardless. And they only require, I think, like one weekend a month is the minimum.
Yeah. I mean, that would, at least you'd still have your foot in the door and, you know, you'd get a little break, but I don't blame you for wanting to stay home. It goes so fast, you know, when they're little.
I know. And when I think about childcare costs, I'm in the New England area. And honestly, I would probably just break even between the cost of childcare and how much I'm taking home anyway, because I work in a school. Yeah. So I don't make very much money to begin with.
And that's how I felt like for me, putting multiple kids into childcare just wasn't financially feasible. And I don't want to go to work just to break even.
Exactly. I feel like if we're doing that, then I want to be the one that sees their first steps and first words.
Yes. And it's nice, like when they get sick, you know, nobody has to worry about scrambling schedules. Like, you know, I'm there, I can take care of it. And you know, my husband and I are a good team. So, you know, we've learned how to, he helps me out and, you know, when I need a break or whatnot. But one thing for us, I think, because I worked in the hospital and at the nursing home for a while, and, you know, I made okay money, you know, being PRN, but we had found an in-home sitter for a few years. And so she worked out very well for us. It was a lot more affordable than daycare. Plus, with daycare, they get sick a lot.
Yeah, and so the person would come and just work on the hours you were going to work?
Yeah, she watched other children in her house. So we would just bring our kid, or one or two kids when we did use her, and she would watch them at her house for, you know, 6 to 8 hours, and she was very flexible. I felt like it was like not the norm, but we really lucked out with her. And then she stopped like 3 years ago, which was understandable. So that worked for us, but daycare it's very expensive. I have friends here, like, and being in Alabama, you know, it's, the cost of living is cheaper, but even daycare costs, I mean, I had friends that were paying like what it would cost a mortgage payment every month.
Exactly.
For daycare, which is ridiculous.
And I find that with daycare, it's not as, because I've considered just doing part-time, like maybe I could work part-time in a school, but you basically pay for your child's seat to be there. So even if you are on vacation or, you know, I get summers off, I'm still paying for that seat all throughout the year, even if I physically could be home with them.
I had to crunch some numbers. Like for us, when I did start staying home, I had to look at our, you know, monthly bills and everything. And for a while there, like we couldn't save a whole lot of money, but we could, you know, pay for what we needed to do. And we had some savings, which was a cushion, but, you know, it was hard for a little while, but you find ways to make it work. If it's a priority for you and it's important to you, you will be able to find ways to make it work, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And actually, when I think about my own mom, so she was a stay-at-home mom until I was about 10 years old. And then she started looking for work, and she, you know, had children really young. She had like a little bit of college, but hadn't really graduated. Or when she decided to go back to work, she couldn't find hardly anything. So I guess it is great that we have this degree that we can keep kind of on the back burner. And then when we're ready to use it, we can use it pretty much in any way we'd like.
Yeah, it is flexible, I feel like, with OT. You know, there are so many different settings that you could work in. And another thing that, I mean, another thing that helped me the last few years is even like joining Facebook groups about with other therapists. And just, I don't know, periodically reading about their patient situations, it kind of keeps your OT mind still working in a sense. But I made a post on a therapy Facebook group page a few weeks ago because I just started going back to outpatient a little bit and I was terrified. So I just wanted some words of encouragement from people. I had so many women respond saying they stayed home for 3 or more, like 10 plus years, some of them. And, you know, they got back into it and it was fine. Like it's scary at first, but it's almost like starting a new job. You're scared at first, but once you find your groove, it gets easier.
Hey, everybody. I am so genuinely excited to tell you about MedBridge. So MedBridge is a continuing ed site, and they have tons of continuing ed courses all available online. You can stream them at your own pace. They also have home exercise plans, which are incredible. You can literally build your own plan with pictures that can perfectly suit whatever client you're working for. It's honestly so awesome. And you get unlimited CEUs. And these CEU courses are just really intriguing and exciting. Like I've done continuing ed online in the past, and these ones that they select are just very much in line with what I find interesting, and I feel like you might find them interesting as well. So, are you struggling with finding the resources for your time for CEUs? With almost 2,000 accredited evidence-based streaming courses, live CEU webinars, MedBridge is your all-in-one solution. And actually, if you use my code, it's Spill the OT, capital S, capital T, capital OT. So Spill the OT, one word, capital S, capital T, capital OT. You can get $175 off of your year-long subscription, which is awesome. I mean, that's like significant amount of money off. So if you are interested, please go check it out. Again, use the code Spill the OT, capital S, capital T, capital OT, all one word. All right. I really hope that you go check it out. Enjoy. That's really encouraging because I think that is a concern for a few people. I've had a few emails of women who have wanted to do the stay-at-home mom thing, but they kind of feel that same guilt I was talking about earlier, or they just feel like they could never afford it. But yeah. If it is a priority, then we're only on this planet once, as far as we know. So,
and you know, your kids, do they grow so fast. I mean, my oldest is 8 now and my youngest is 3, but it's just like working. Some days are more challenging than others, but I do not regret being home the last few years. And I don't think I would change that at all, but it's totally understandable to, you know, have anxiety about it. But I promise that it does work out. It's hard. The unknown, I guess, is more scary, but you do find a way for it to work.
Can you talk about your experiences as a PRN? Like, do you feel like you fit in right away, or do you feel like sometimes you're behind?
And I felt like everywhere I worked, people were very nice, but I do feel like being the PRN person, you know, sometimes I almost felt like people were resentful of me because I could kind of come and go when I want. And other people that were full-time, you know, had to be there every day, all day. I don't know how to explain it other than I just kind of felt like an outcast at first. But before long, I mean, everybody was always friendly to me and would include me. One, I guess, negative part of being PRN is that, you know, you don't get to see patients as consistently. So I might see a patient and then I might come back the next week and they may or may not be there. So you don't get to like be with the patient consistently to watch their progress. I feel like I had to spend more time just getting to know who the person was, like reading their medical history, making sure they don't, you know, what are their precautions, what's going on, you know? So, and you have to kind of rush because everywhere you work, there are productivity requirements. So you don't have the luxury of spending a whole lot of time really kind of getting to know everybody. But in a sense too, I felt like another nice thing about PRN too is like you don't really get caught up in the work drama. And I do feel like I didn't really get burned out as much because I was changing settings, you know, and I wasn't there at the same place all the time. So that, I thought that was another nice part of it.
Do you feel like acute care is easier to be PRN in because most therapists only see their patients like once or twice during their stay?
Yes, definitely so. I really like the hospital, the like acute care. It's definitely much more fast paced. But yeah, because in the nursing home, there's definitely more to know about people. And I do have to spend more time kind of figuring them out and kind of figuring out my schedule, like who can I see this morning versus this afternoon. And, you know, you're trying to make everybody happy, but that doesn't always work as far as with scheduling. But sometimes I did get like the screenings, you know, for the long-term residents for, you know, and most of the time it was not necessary, but, you know, they're trying to possibly pick up more patients on their caseload to see if there's a possibility they need therapy. So sometimes that could be a little frustrating. And then at the hospital, it's kind of like a free-for-all. I mean, we would just kind of split people up, whatever was easier. It was usually by floor. It can be intimidating at first, especially with the machines, you know, it's definitely intimidating, but I do feel like you learn so much there, and it's definitely much more fast paced. And a nice part of working in acute care too, is like, if I have a patient who went to dialysis that day and if, you know, they're drained afterwards, well, they can't do therapy. Okay, we'll try it tomorrow. Whereas like at the nursing home, it's like, nope, we got to see today. We got to see for X amount of minutes. It doesn't matter if you have the flu or if you have dialysis or if you're sick and puking everywhere. We still have to see you. So that part is frustrating.
That's great that you have that wiggle room at the acute. I didn't realize that.
Well, I think at the hospital too, you usually have, you know, a lot more patients on your caseload. So whereas at the nursing home, you have a set schedule and you've got to go by that schedule. and there's not a whole lot of room for you to have a reason not to see a person unless they've like left the facility.
You don't have to share this, but a lot of my podcast, I do talk about the finances. Would you be willing to share like a ballpark of what you make as an hourly rate? You don't have to share the exact amount.
No, that's fine. I don't mind sharing it. When I worked at the nursing home, I make $50 an hour. And when I worked in the hospital, I made $42 an hour.
Okay. So the hospital is a little bit less then?
Yes. And I worked at an outpatient clinic a few years ago. Like I helped cover a maternity leave for a few months. So there I made $40 an hour. But I just started to get back with the outpatient clinic recently. And now I make $50 an hour there.
Okay. That's pretty similar to the rates here. I do inpatient rehab.
Really?
And yeah, up in this area, it's a very flooded area. So I think they can afford to pay a lot less. I have a friend in Pennsylvania and she makes between like $60 or $70 an hour PRN.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. See, I would have thought just the opposite being in the New England area for you. But that makes sense if your area is saturated. I feel like my area, like we have UAB here. So that produces, you know, OT students every year. And then we also have a CODA program close by. So I feel like for a few years, the job market is more saturated here. And like, but I've had the same pay rate at the nursing home the entire time I've worked there. And that's been almost 9 years. I've not had a raise at all.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. And in fact, this fall, I'm hoping that I can go back to work like 2 days a week. So I'll be like, you know, reapplying to the hospital I used to work at. And I'm curious as to what their pay would be at this point.
One thing I've noticed is that there seems to be a really big difference between part-time pay and per diem pay. Like I applied for a part-time job and the rate would have been, I think like $35 an hour. But if I work at the same place per diem, then it's like $45 to $50 an hour, depending on how much you can commit.
Oh, wow.
But if you accept a part-time position with guaranteed hours, then it's back to like just a standard number.
Well, I was going to say probably the part-time, at least the part-time, you would have the guaranteed hours. And that is a drawback to PRN is that you don't have a guarantee. Plus, I've worked places when I was working more often, you know, especially like at the nursing home. So I would tell them I could work this day and I could be there for 8 hours. Well, I'd get there and I might only have five. I might only have six. And, you know, I could have lost out on working somewhere else all day, like at the hospital, but I agree to go to the nursing home.
And you don't know that until you get there.
You don't know that till you get there. I mean, even now, like when I work Saturdays, they're very, very good about telling me the day before how many hours I have. But very, very rarely is that 100% accurate because I'll get there and there wasn't an admission or somebody went out to the hospital, you know. So, and that's, you know, that's just the way it is. I can't get upset about it. And right now I'll take whatever I can get.
So do you ever get canceled entirely?
Yes, I have been canceled. In fact, that was part of my issue a few years ago when I was pregnant with my third child and I was still trying to work during my pregnancy. I would commit to the nursing home for certain days. And then the day before I'd get a call like, oh, we don't need you tomorrow. And I wouldn't have anywhere else to work. So I lost out on work. It is a risk with PRN is that, you know, if you sign up with one place, you may not be guaranteed to be there.
Definitely. I tried to do full-time PRN maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years at this point, I can't remember, but it didn't work out because I would commit to like 3 or 4 days during the week, assuming that I could get like my full-time pay in those 4 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might get canceled 2 or 3 days out of that. And you don't know until 3 o'clock the day before. So yeah,
it's hard to make it up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes. That, I forgot that is a drawback, to being PR. And you have to kind of like hustle, you know, like, if you're not going to get work one day, you got to try to ask around and see what you can. And so that can add a little bit of stress, I guess.
And I think like the burnout rate is really high for people in our field because of the productivity standards. To maintain that day in and day out, week after week.
Yeah, it's very hard. I wish that, and I don't know how they would do this, but I wish that that had been like discussed when I was in OT school. I don't feel like productivity requirements or the burnout that happens was really like emphasized. And I know you don't want to like devote an entire class to that and scare everybody, and you know they won't want to finish the program at that point, but I do feel like you could kind of try to introduce that to people a little bit more before they get out there, just to kind of maybe be a little bit more prepared.
Totally. I feel like it was completely glossed over. I don't even know if it was mentioned.
I remember my professor mentioning one time about productivity, but when you're in school, you don't grasp that. And even when we were doing clinicals, you know, I don't really remember that being highly emphasized. And obviously you're there to learn. So I don't really remember it being mentioned a whole lot. So you're thrown out there and you're like, wait, what? I have to have like X amount of units per day. And if I don't, I could get fired. What?
It's so true.
It can be a little intimidating at first.
So I ask everybody this question at the end. If you could do it all over again, knowing what you know now, would you go to school to get your OTR?
I don't know. I guess some days I think I would, because I do feel like it's a good fit for me, because I don't really know what else I would have done. I initially wanted to get into counseling, but I still feel like OT is a lot more exciting. Or so I guess if I had to answer it yes or no, I would say I would still go back to being an OT. But I've sometimes thought, you know, what about like going to nursing school or even like a PA job? But I don't like needles, and you know, I really don't think it would have been a good fit. And I do love with OT how there are so many options for different settings to work in.
Yes, I think that's a really huge bonus. And you can switch settings kind of entirely, and it feels like a brand new job.
It does, yes, I agree. Like, I'm trying this outpatient, and it's like, it's mostly hands. It's totally intimidating to me, but I'm going to try to keep doing it and get better, hopefully.
Good for you. That's awesome. So, right. Well, thank you so much for coming on here.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much for listening. I know that any topic related to parenting or motherhood or working versus staying home can tend to be a little bit polarizing. I always want this podcast to be inclusive. So please just take this as another person's perspective. I fully understand that there are cultural, there are financial, there are tons and tons of reasons why a person may or may not be able to stay at home. Beyond just that, I know that there are lots of people who don't want to stay at home. They would prefer to go to work. So just take this as an inclusive place. I just like to have everybody talk about different conversations. Okay, as always, you're welcome to email me at spilltheot@gmail.com if you would like to be on the podcast, or if you just want to say hi and share something. If you can follow me on Instagram, that would be great. It's spill_the_OT. And as always, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.